Be careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her, or ways to order her books, will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series, as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz, your producer and host of this show. Well, this show should not only stimulate your curiosity, but challenge your viewpoints about what remains unexplained in the paranormal realm. In other words, is it even possible for ghosts to have sex with humans, or vice versa? In the design of this show, I have scripted it to be PG-17+, which means children and teens under the age of 17 should either be in the presence of an adult when listening or not listen at all. Before we get to our main topic, if you are intrigued by the paranormal and like true stories, I have 7 of my books out on Amazon.com and Kindle. The books can be found on pages 1-3, and just type in Paranormal Encounters into the search bar and you'll start seeing them as you scroll through the list. These books contain true stories that I've encountered over the last 40-some years, along with some beautifully illustrated pictures and sketches. If you would like to view my book covers first and their descriptions, go to my website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com and you will find them there. And some exciting news! In addition to my regular podcast show, I have been asked by the producer of ParaX Radio Network to join his lineup of some of the most unique paranormal talk shows ever heard, live and by podcast. The network shows are heard 24 hours a day, with both live and podcast shows designed to play or air at a specific starting time. To get acquainted with the ParaX Radio Network site, go to www.paraxradionetwork.com. That's paraxradionetwork.com, and click on the schedule that's located in the upper left-hand corner. Take a look at the guide to find programs of interest, and then click on the Listen Now button to take you into the chat room site where some program will probably be playing, whether it's a current one or whether it's a past episode of something. When I am launched on the Para-X radio network, as another alternative to coming directly here, I will be more than likely to let you know how to find me there. So, let's get started, shall we? Here's what is on the agenda for this episode. In segment one, Paranormal Topics, the topic for this week will be spectrophilia, which means humans having sex with ghosts or vice versa. Segment 2, Beyond the Grave. A voice talent will share a few stories from unsuspecting persons who claim to have had a sexual relationship with a ghostly entity. Segment 3, Ghosts in the News. A voice talent will report an interesting news story about a woman who had a sexual affair with a ghost by the name of Robert. Segment 4, a very popular segment called Maynard and Mildred. Maynard continues to interact and be picked on by Mildred, even though Maynard doesn't quite believe in ghosts. And segment 5, a new segment called Life Beyond Death, as narrated by a voice talent, will share with us yet another story about a woman who believed her sexual encounter with a ghost provided her more than comfort. If you have a story you would like to share, please write to my email at krschutz1@yahoo.com. That's krschutz1@yahoo.com. Before we get started on the first segment, let's have a word from this podcast series sponsor.
Donate. Simply click the button that says Donate on the podcast page located on the right-hand side to contribute to this program. We appreciate your willingness to pay it forward.
This segment is called Paranormal Topics. The topic for discussion will be spectrophilia, otherwise known as people having sex with ghosts, spirits, or invisible entities. This is the educational portion of the podcast. Although care has been taken to script and discuss this topic, the segment is aimed for mature listeners over the age of 17. Some portions of this podcast may not be suitable for young teens or children. The most common definition of spectrophilia is a fetish that is classified as paraphilia, in which one is attracted to ghosts or spirits in a sexual way. Spectrophiliacs fantasize about ghosts and often imagine scenarios involving sexual events between themselves and spirits. Research on this topic dates as far back as 2400 BC, as discussed in Christian, Greek, Jewish, and Celtic folklore. In 300 AD, in an early Christian story, the Bible alludes to a race of giants as described in the book of Genesis, stating gods had the ability to change into devils in order to postulate, in other words, have sex, with women. And through their mating act, the women would reproduce more demons. The sin of copulating or having sex with demons gained momentum in the 1400s when an eccentric German Catholic priest by the name of Heinrich Kramer set out to write a convincing tome on the lifestyle, identification of, and suggested punishments of witches. During this time, some men not only believed that they were being seduced by the devil in their dreams and visions, but also blamed women for their cardinal sin. It was also felt that demons, as male lovers, gave women more intense orgasms and were the optimal sex partners. Okay then, that was then, and this is now. Today there isn't much concrete evidence or research on spectrophilia because it is a difficult theory to prove. It is often challenged by scientific research proclaiming the fetish to be an act of sleep paralysis. That being said, the beliefs about it being more than sleep paralysis have not gone away. There is a strong fascination about the idea of sexual assault by a phantom ghost, so much that it has created its own specific terminology. Female demons are termed as succubi, and male demons are termed as incubi. The term succubus, or demon, takes on a female human form to seduce men. The succubus seduces men through intercourse. The counterpart of succubus is the incubus. The incubus is a demon that is said to take on male human form. The incubus, much like the succubus, is said to seduce women into sex and the objective of impregnating them. Broken down further, the devil, whether female or male, has a mission to participate and partake in intercourse with a live person with the goal or attempt of reproducing demon offspring. So this theory claims. Even though there is little to no research that has proven the phenomenon on spectrophilia, it is frequently being talked about on paranormal shows, and to its victim, it is a very comforting or terrifying experience. The idea of having steamy, hot sex with an invisible supernatural being may be enlightening or thrill-seeking to most, but in reality, the act itself can be so dangerous because, as they say, you are technically screwing with the devil. Who wants nothing more than to take energy from the victim but the devil, reducing that person into a needy individual so he or she can be controlled by this entity? That's very quite dangerous. You might ask me at this point if I've ever had a situation like this with a ghost. Well, the answer to that question is yes and no. I believe I was propositioned by a ghost by the name of Henry in my house during daylight hours one afternoon. This incident happened in a room in my house where I have noticed a consistent increase in milligauss readings, particularly on a specific chair when I use my K2 meter. In fact, in this room, the clock dial on a dead clock would move, indicating to me a presence was in the house. This fascination of the dead clock brought me to the point where I wanted to figure out who was in the room. So in using a specific program on my gadget, it would relate to me words, I would go and start testing the room, the chair, and certain areas in there. To my surprise, one day I would get a very intelligent reading on my application with words that something was trying to make contact with me. The sequence of words came from this entity were actually, for the most part, a proposition by the entity to have some type of moment or flirtatious moment with me. And this Henry, whoever he might actually have been, was not only flirting with me through this device, but he was also messing around with my physical body. Let's just say the room felt a little warm. You might ask me if I may have been experiencing some sort of fantasy, hormonal changes, or overactive imagination at that moment. In my mind, I would have to say I was not. I wasn't even seeking this, quite honestly. I was minding my own business, and I just made the mistake of sitting in that chair that always had a high milligauss reading. For all I know, I was probably sitting on top of Henry, the ghost, who probably liked it, by the way, and who was probably always the one sitting in that chair. Perhaps a thrill for some and Henry, but not for me. When the name Henry came up on my gadget, it sounded rather kind, innocent, non-threatening, almost a lonely sort. But as we know, the devil can pretend to be a child or person of innocence to try to get close to its victim. And when someone is vulnerable, this entity can take possession of their body and turn your life upside down. How do I know this? because I went down that road in a different house just prior to moving into the one I'm in now. And at first, when I discovered that there was some ghostly being in that house, it started out by sounding relatively nice and kind and, you know, not disruptive. But over time, what it happened is it became very jealous of my husband. It became very possessive over me. It wanted a lot of attention from me. And not only that, it started to mess with my mind and actually drain energy from me. So you can be fooled once, but I certainly cannot be fooled twice. Therefore, do not think your involvement with an invisible something is always an act of love or comfort. It may be the devil preying on your emotions and vulnerabilities to try to get to your energy within your body. Although modern medicine has attempted to explain the phenomena as an unsavory side effect of sleep paralysis, many people consider their encounters to be terrifyingly real or actually very comforting. With my experience, I wasn't asleep and I wasn't amused by the gesture or proposition by the entity named Henry, okay? So let's take a moment to discuss sleep paralysis, since this seems to be apparently connected with the physical conditions that people are experiencing when they believe they're having sex with an invisible ghost or a ghost in their imagination. Sleep paralysis is a phenomenon in which an individual, either during the point of falling asleep or awakening, briefly experiences an inability to move, speak, or react. It is a transitional state of being between wakefulness and sleep. It is often accompanied by terrifying hallucinations in which one is unable to react due to paralysis and physical experiences, such as a strong current running through their upper body or the feeling that something is suffocating them or holding them down, and that they often report feeling pressure on their chest and difficulty breathing. Another common hallucination involves intruders or the supernatural entering one's room or lurking outside their window, accompanied by a feeling of dread. All right, so genetics and sleep deprivation, can't even say it, sleep deprivation are a major cause of sleep paralysis and is often linked to disorders such as narcolepsy, migraines, anxiety disorders, and obstructive sleep apnea. About 20 to 40% of people experience sleep paralysis at one point in their life, and as part of the normal sleep cycle, men and women can also become sexually aroused. It is not uncommon during the REM stage of sleep to have a sexual component of arousal. So this is why researchers are trying to lean in the direction that when these incidents occur in people's lives, that what they are truly experiencing is another type of disorder, and as part of this disorder, it triggers a sexual component and or arousal in the individual. Now let me go back to Henry just for a moment. Do I believe that there was some entity in that room that day? Yes, actually I do. Do I believe this entity was messing with me or that I was psychologically messing with myself? That I can't answer 100%. I can tell you, though, that I wasn't in a sleep paralysis state of being. I can tell you that I was actually quite mobile and going about my business in the house. And then I can also quite tell you that the physical symptoms that I started to feel, even sitting on that chair, came at me quite quickly and not necessarily, I believe, were conjured up in my mind. According to Steve Parsons, author of Ghostology, he has been investigating the paranormal for 35 years and reports that sex with ghosts seem to be on the rise. This might be due to an increase in viewership of programs on television that discuss the paranormal and the convincing accounts of those who claim to have experienced something unusual may be familiar with those who believe that they have had similar experiences. Excuse me. Have I ever experienced sleep paralysis? Not to my knowledge. I have experienced being choked in bed a couple of times when I felt hands grip around my neck, continuing to apply pressure. Again, this was in my former house where it was very, very active with something in there. I have also felt something apply pressure to my back. I was in a castle, in one of their, I guess the most haunted room in a castle, and there were other reports that people had also had incidences where something was sitting on their stomach or sitting on their backs during the evening time, and this was very few and far in between. So we either all had a sleep paralysis moment that we couldn't explain, or there was something residual, I believe, going on in that room. Do I know what it feels like to be touched in a way where you cannot explain it? Yes, I can honestly say that I have. I know what pressure feels like. It's a very unusual pressure that you feel. It just kind of, it's like a sudden pressure that just slowly increases and in its intensity, and you do start feeling crushed, or you feeling like something's sitting on you or whatnot. So for those individuals who are actually having these what they believe to be sex with ghost moments, I can understand when they say, yes, I felt something on top of me. Well, yeah, but it just depends. One of the things that they never seem to talk about in their stories is they never seem to talk about the penetration moment. They talk about the feeling and the pressure, but they don't talk about anything else. So that is probably something that would be nice if someone would actually come forward and describe what that moment felt like. But otherwise, it's all about people feeling pressure on their bodies. Okay. Let's move this theory into ghostly visions, okay? Research suggests that visions and hearing a demonic voice when resistance is attempted are symptoms commonly experienced during episodes of sleep paralysis. See, here we go right back to sleep paralysis again. The researchers are very adamant about the fact that the body experiences a lot of different physical types of feelings when this is happening and going on. Those who do not believe they have had a sleep paralysis experience believe their experience to be with a ghost, a parasite, or an alien visit. Now, I'm not going to take that out of the equation, because I know from my own standpoint the power of what a ghost can actually have over an individual. If I have, in my recent radio interview with Dark Sun Rising, I had described a situation where I was actually kicked up in the air in the middle of the night from underneath the bed, which was impossible for something to get under, okay? And the only thing that I can tell you about that is if a ghost has the power to be able to kick my whole body up in the air about a foot, where I wake up bouncing on the bed, then basically in a nutshell, what else can they do? All right. So I'm not going to discount this theory of spectrophilia entirely here, on the basis that I do know from firsthand experiences that these unknown entities, especially the demonic ones, or very aggressive or angry ones, can have a lot of control over somebody's body. Many people who experience sleep paralysis sense or see a menacing presence in the bedroom when they're paralyzed, otherwise known as an intruder. The intruder is often perceived as a shadowy humanoid figure. The shape is either gigantic or miniature, resembling the frame of a human being, and the intruder usually does not have facial features. Okay, well, first of all, I recall a story that was on television, oh gosh, probably about three, four years ago, in which a young lady was talking about the fact that she had a ghostly lover, and that this ghostly lover represented what she felt was her soulmate from her background. She was Indian, and this ghostly lover so happens to have been Indian. And they showed on television exactly what I described. They showed a black figure that was definitely someone of an Indian descent. And we're talking American Indian, and or Native Indian, excuse me. And coming up to her and pulling covers off of her while she's on the bed and essentially lying on top of her and attempted to have sex. And she liked it so much that she became addicted to this vision or this thing or in her mind, whatever it was. And it was something that went on for at least a period of time. There was also another story on television that I saw a few years back involving a woman who just, a widow who just lost her husband. And when you have such a strong soul connection with somebody, sometimes it's very hard to let anything else or anyone else in. And so she recalled lying in bed one evening and she felt a presence next to her and she believed it to be her husband. And so going along that lines, she also had sex with this idea or this ghost or her former husband who was now deceased. And so people have shared their stories about this going on. But again, we have to ask the question, is this something real or is this something in our minds, you know? Here's another story I found interesting. Let's see. It was reported in 2011. A series of what were believed to be ghost rapes were occurring in a Mennonite community in Bolivia. Children as young as 3 up to about the age of 65 years old claimed to have had nocturnal violations after waking up with a crushing headache, semen stains on their bedding, bits of rope scattered around them, and pelvic pain. For the next 4 years, about 130 women would report being assaulted in their sleep. At first, the Christian community dismissed their stories, feeling the women were just making them up to gain attention. However, when the assaults continued, the church elders decided that God was putting a scourge on the community, and they amended their disbelief, proclaiming the demons were systematically raping all of their women. However, there's a twist to this. A new theory submerged, stating that a group of men in the community had concocted a spray from medicines used to anesthetize cattle and were fumigating entire families so that they could sneak inside their homes and rape the women at night. Okay, anyway, that must be some concoction. So who knows what the truth was behind this actual story. Maybe they did live in a place that had a very high energy demonic area, and maybe this truly was happening. I will not deny the report because obviously they lived through it and believed their experiences. However, when the new theory submerged that there was some type of manipulation going on here by some in the community, one truly does not know unless they lived the experience or they were there. And interestingly enough, that happened only 6 years ago. So I don't know. You tell me. So what do we make of all this? Do you think people are experiencing this concept in their fantasies, dreaming up visions, or actually being violated? Could people be experiencing hallucinations? Reports say that up to about 15% of people believe they have been assaulted in their sleep by an unknown entity at some point in their life. Even with ghosts, there is an issue of consent, believe it or not. However, demon or not, several individuals have reported being groped without granting permission. Okay, so what is it about celebrities that make us seem to believe things a little bit more? Celebrities such as Lucy Liu, Keisha, Anna Nicole Smith, and Natasha Blasic have all reported having a sexual experience with a ghost. It has also been reported on television through a variety of shows that show everyday people, whether they be newlyweds, husbands, wives, girlfriends, boyfriends, or deceased widowers of deceased loved ones, making contact with them by returning to show affection or have sexual intercourse with them in their bedrooms or maybe other places in their house. I don't know. And then there are those like myself who gets propositioned by a ghost by the name of Henry, who appears to be kind, but in reality may have been a demonic predator disguised as a passive man who simply wanted to break my vulnerabilities down. Well, when you are a sensitive empath, such as myself, I can feel and absorb the emotions of others. And sometimes what happens when we're overly sensitive is we become unsuspectingly vulnerable, letting our guards down. Okay? So as they say again, dancing with the devil, in reality, I believe we are being potentially screwed by the devil. Here ends the segment of the podcast for today. Let's take a break. When we return, we will move into segment 2, otherwise known as Beyond the Grave. In this segment, a voice talent will share a few stories from unsuspecting people who claim to have had a sexual encounter with a ghostly entity. Stay tuned.
My name is Joy. Here is my story. Ever since I was a little girl, someone or something would stalk me in my bedroom late at night. At first, this ghostly being terrified me. As I grew up, this ghost would come and visit me. Because I was used to its presence and it never seemed to want to harm me, I felt it was nothing more than a comforting friend. In fact, this wasn't the only ghost I would feel close to. I used to have visits from strange spirits and have sex with them. I found these moments to be pleasurable. It was almost like I was having a relationship with a guy. I could feel their presence coming closer to me and could feel their hands touch me all over my body.
My name is Amethyst. Here is my story. I was 27 years old when my spiritual guidance consultant from Bristol told me that an out-of-this-world relationship would not only end my engagement with my childhood sweetheart, but would deter me from having an interest in living men forever. My first time having relationships with a ghost was when I was around 17 years old. I was living with my boyfriend. He traveled a lot for his job. I was lonely and noticed that items kept disappearing and then reappearing in my guest room. I thought I was going mad, but became aware of a presence. I could feel it all around me, and it felt comforting. About 6 months of my boyfriend being away, I saw a heart drawn on the condensation of my window in the guest room. As I peered at it, I felt something come up from behind me, put their hands on my hips, and breathe softly on my neck. It wasn't warm or cold, just soft breath. It lasted about 2 or 3 seconds, then faded away. I couldn't see or hear anything, but I knew someone was there. I wasn't scared at all. A few weeks later, I decided to explore further, so I wore some sexy nightwear to bed and lied in the darkness. As I was falling asleep, I felt this light pressure on my body like nothing I have ever experienced before. We had sex 2 to 3 times a day. One day, my boyfriend came home unannounced, and as he peered through the curtains in a window and saw a black shadow of a man on top of me, he ran into the house and started screaming, "Where is he?" I told him about my ghost lover. He walked out of the house and I never saw him again. The relationship with my ghost lover lasted 3 years before it disappeared. I had since had 20 sexual relationships with other ghosts.
Let's take a break. When we return, we will move into segment 3 of the podcast known as Ghosts in the News. This segment will be reported by a voice talent who will share with us an interesting ghost sighting witnessed by everyday people around the globe. Stay tuned.
Welcome, everyone, to segment 3 called Ghosts in the News. What ghostly ghouls are lurking in your private area? In an article entitled, "The Women Who Say They Have Had Affairs with Ghosts," as reported in the Daily Mail, dated November 2015, takes us to North London, United Kingdom, to meet a young woman by the name of Cyan Jameson, who at age 25 years old began a sexual relationship with a ghost by the name of Robert. Robert was an artist who died more than 100 years ago. Robert instinctively knew what Cyan wanted in the sex department. In her mind, Robert was very handsome with beautiful hazel eyes. He stroked her body tenderly. She could feel the weight of him pressing down on her body. Their whole encounter would last an hour. Afterwards, he would tell her that their sexual experience was the most amazing he had ever had. When telling her story, some people believed Cyan had lost her mind. And that is our ghostly love affair moment in the news.
Let's take a break. When we return, we will move into segment 4 entitled Maynard and Mildred. Stay tuned.
Hello, Maynard. What's the matter? Haven't seen a ghost today? Maynard, science can't explain everything. Maynard, just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
I just love going to the movie theater. There's nothing like catching a flick on the big screen.
Hello, Maynard.
Holy crap, Mildred. What are you doing here? I'm trying to decide what movie to see. There are so many choices.
Maynard, why are you here alone?
I'm not really here alone. My mom and dad are watching some smoochy movie. Yuck! My dad didn't want to see it either, but my mom insisted.
Maynard, which movie are you going to see?
Mildred, I'm thinking about seeing a movie with zombies.
Zombies? That's not scary. My Uncle Oswald is a zombie. He's a really handsome man.
Mildred, don't take all the fun out of it. Zombies are scary and ugly looking. And they move really slowly.
Maynard, let's go and get your ticket before they sell out. Oh, look at the crowd!
Yes, ma'am. My name is Maynard. One ticket, please, for March of the Zombies. Mildred, I don't think you will have any trouble sneaking in.
Make that 2 tickets. Let's keep it above board, Maynard.
What? No, ma'am. No, I didn't say I was sneaking someone. Well, never mind. I just need one ticket, please.
Maynard, let's go get some popcorn. By the way, what is March of the Zombies rated anyway?
I think it is rated PG-13. I look old for my age. Look, Mildred, 3D glasses. Cool! Those zombies will really come to life now.
Oh, brother. Look, we are next in line. Let's get in line here.
One popcorn and one soda, please. No, I don't need any butter. How about you, Mildred? Wait! What am I saying? Oh, never mind. I was just asking my friend. Well, never mind.
Let's go and find a good seat, Maynard. Gosh, this crowd is sure pushy.
I'm heading for the center, Mildred. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Whoops. Sorry. I don't have any cash to pay you back for that. Gosh, Mildred, let's sit down already.
Oh, let's sit here. Blah, blah, blah.
Mildred, be quiet. The movie is about to start. This is always my favorite part. The music is so intense.
Look, Maynard, it's Uncle Oswald and Aunt Zelda. Over here! Come over here! Hi, hi, over here!
Mildred, what are you waving at? Wow, they have zombies roaming in the movie theater. Cool. And they look like so... they're so lifelike. I don't even have to wear my 3D glasses.
They aren't actors, Maynard. That's my Uncle Oswald and Aunt Zelda. Over here! I'm right here! Come on over here!
What are they doing here? Look, everybody is running out of the theater.
Good. Now we can get our choice of seats. They're all here because they think that they're actually watching a documentary on themselves.
I'm creeped out, Mildred. Can we tell them to sit in the next row?
No problem. They won't hurt you. Uncle Oswald looks a bit on the, well, constipated side today and appears to be moving a little slowly.
How can you tell?
I don't know. I guess I can't tell, but you never know. Maynard, I think I'm going to take off. Have fun sitting in the movie theater by yourself. I hope your parents don't forget to pick you up after their smooch movie, and enjoy the company of my uncle and aunt. Why don't we take a moment next time to go down memory lane together? Okay, Maynard?
Let's take our final break. When we come back, we will hear segment 5 entitled
Life and Death,
as narrated by a voice talent who will share a story with us about a woman who found comfort in the arms of ghostly lovers. Stay tuned.
Just when you think you are safe from the world around you, you suddenly realize that no matter where you go, you are not alone. Welcome to
Life Beyond Death.
My name is Anne. I was a 52-year-old charity worker when I began having sexual encounters with ghosts. These sexual encounters provided me with comfort in times of heartbreak. It was during the age of 43 when I had gone through 2 divorces and needed a break from men. and speaking with mediums for guidance, they taught me how to become more intuitive and in touch with the paranormal. At points of sadness in my life, I have felt a strong presence around me. Kitchen utensils would go missing and would appear in the living room. I knew I was in the presence of ghosts, but didn't realize their efforts were to reassure me that I was not alone in my sadness. Lying in bed, I wondered if I could summon a ghost to have sex with me. Closing my eyes, I envisioned a strong, handsome man with big shoulders. Minutes later, a ghost would appear to me. I kept my eyes closed throughout because I was worried that I might scare him or ruin the moment if I opened them. Afterwards, I thanked the ghost and asked him to leave, which it did. Over the next several years, I would have sex with 9 ghosts. I knew each of them were different because I always asked for a different male form. Eventually, my having sex with ghosts ended, but the memories of those moments live on. What ghostly encounter might you experience before you realize that you are not alone?
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Subscribe to this program by clicking on the link on her podcast page to follow upcoming episodes. Thanks for listening, take care, and until next time, be careful what you wish for. The script, vocal talents, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.